Good morning. It's 5 minutes after 7, 35 degrees. We got a special guest with us this morning, Dr. Zobra Haster, who's the clinic professor, Department of Family Medicine of Wisconsin. Good morning, Dr. Pastor. How are you?
Good morning, Norman. Hope you're doing well.
We are doing well here. We're getting some of that Wisconsin weather, so could you help us with that?
Yeah, sure. The snow is great. You roll in it and build snowmen. That's what we That's what we do with it up here.
Okay, you just don't work in it, right?
We just don't work in it. We call it snow days.
Now, tell us, we've heard of gout. Is gout still around?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the myths about gout is that it's an old disease. It's a disease of Henry VIII and Ben Franklin, and we don't see it anymore. But in fact, gout is an old disease, and it's a new disease. In other words, it's around now, and it happens to be on the rise. The larger we've gotten, the more our beltline has expanded, the more gout has expanded. So even though the role of gout itself is sort of minimal in one way, the fatter we've gotten, frankly, as a society, the more gout that it is, and it is a major problem. 3 to 5 million people have gout in the U.S. today.
Now, is gout more common with men or women?
Well, it's more common with men, and I'll tell you give you the skinny on it. Men, 3 to 1 over women. So 3 times as many men get gout as do women. But once women reach menopause, once they stop having the protective effect of estrogen, they start to get gout too. And that's why it's got to be treated. In men, it's the number one inflammatory arthritis in America today. So it's a common problem, and it's a problem that really has to be addressed.
What causes gout?
Well, gout is caused by too much uric acid. Gout is a metabolic disease. It's not a disease of dietary indiscretion. It's not a disease of eating too much shrimp and eating too much lobster. I don't know about you, but in Wisconsin, we don't eat that much shrimp and lobster. And when we do, especially with shrimp, it's mostly breading. It's not a disease of liver and onions, which we don't have every week. It's a metabolic problem. What happens is we digest a protein, purine, and when we break down the protein, we produce something called uric acid. Some people produce too much of it. Some people don't excrete enough of it. And the people who have a lot of it in their bloodstream and, that's the end, have a genetic predisposition to gout get it. So there are two things with gout. It's not just the elevated uric acid that we get from metabolism that we're inherited with, but you actually have to have a gout flare to have it. So it's a combination of two things that help make that presumptive diagnosis.
What are the first symptoms that we should look for?
Pain, and more pain. People with gout have what they call a gout flare. It's intense pain, red, hot, swollen joint, awful. Most common place is the great toe. That's about 50% of all gout attacks, but it can really occur in any joint. And unlike the arthritis of age, where you've got a painful joint, but you don't see anything, you see this thing, you touch it, it is hot, and you just can't do anything about it. Commonly, the first one often commonly occurs in the evening time when we're a little bit dehydrated, and the uric acid in our body crystallizes in the joints and causes intense inflammation. And if you poke in that joint, which sometimes we do, you pull out the crystals and see them on the microscope. But the only time you ever poke that joint is if you're not sure of the diagnosis. And because some people, they wonder if they have gout or if they have a toe infection or a foot or a hand infection. It looks just like an infected joint would look, almost exactly the same. But there are enough differences so that a doctor can tell the difference when they do an examination.
Now, when you go to the doctors, how does he diagnose it?
Well, what the doctor does is take a history, does physical examination, looks at your joint, and really makes a diagnosis based on what's been going on, how long it took to happen. And then, quite often, they'll measure a uric acid, and here's the rub. If you measure the uric acid during the attack, it usually is low because the uric acid is going out of the bloodstream into the joint. But if you measure the uric acid 2 weeks later, that's 2 weeks later, it'll often be high. It'll be the number 10 or 11 or 12. And so with the history, the physical, and the uric acid, a doctor can make the presumptive diagnosis of what gout is without sticking a needle in that joint.
Now, what level should the uric acid be at normally?
Well, the uric acid if you have gout, has to be driven down to 6. And here's why. When you get a flare, you treat it. You treat the flare with an anti-inflammatory drug. Drugs like ibuprofen, but they're sort of hepped up. They're stronger. Indomethacin is the most common drug that's used. Sometimes we actually use steroids, use an old drug called colchicine. But it takes a week or two to get it fully under control. It gets better in a few days, but it's about a week or two. And once it's under control, if you have recurrent gout flares, the goal then is to take a drug every day to push that uric acid down to 6 so you don't get flares. That's what it is. Once it gets to 6, chances of you getting your flares are very remote.
Now, what choices as far as treatment do we have? Are there more than one type?
Well, yeah. There was an old drug on the block, and this we've got a new drug, the first new drug in 40 years called Euloric. But if we look at the old drug, Xyloprim, it was effective maybe 60% of the time in getting rid of all flares. It got rid of a lot of flares. It was an effective drug. It's cheap. It's inexpensive. Xyloprim works, but it doesn't work for everyone. So for those who it works, that's what I would recommend. You take the inexpensive generic one. But there are people who it doesn't work. Their uric acid is not at that magic number of 6, or they're continuing to get flares. They're continuing to be bothered. Even a little flare isn't good. Big flares are awful. Little flares are bad. Who wants one? And so Euloric at 80 milligrams a day is more effective than allopurinol. And so people who have continued to get flares, who blame it on dietary indiscretion, gee, I had an extra beer today, maybe that caused my gout, or I had some shrimp, maybe that caused it. In fact, that's not what caused their flare. Their flare was caused by too much uric acid. Those are the people who really should look at taking Euloric to push that uric acid down to that magic number of 6 so they don't flare.
Does gout have different stages?
Yeah, it does. The first stage is where the uric acid is building up in your body and you just don't know what's going on because you don't have a flare. And then you start to flare. About 50% of the people who get a gout flare, a gout attack, within a year get a second gout attack. And if they continue, especially get attack after attack after attack, that means the uric acid is precipitating out of their body. They can get these bumps on their skin called tophi. They're more likely to have kidney stones, and they're more likely to have permanent damage within their joints. And so for some people, gout is just an awful, continuous problem. For others, it's a problem once or twice a year. But once you get a gout flare, you don't want to have it again. Your goal is never to have a gout flare again, because it always comes at an inopportune time. Because as I tell my patients, there is never an opportune time to have a gout flare. It never happens. You go, way, I've got a gout flare. It's a good day. Never.
What foods should you avoid?
Well, if you totally go on what's called a low purine diet, the most you can lower your uric acid is about 1. Most people have to lower it about 4 or 5 points. So the most you can lower it is 1. There would be no seafood, no shellfish, no scallops, no liver and onions. You got to avoid beer. Beer can cause an attack. You can have 1 aspirin a day, not more than 1 aspirin a day. High fructose corn syrup, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, those things also seem to cause gout. It would be a diet that, it's easy to avoid liver and onions for most people, but when it comes to soft drinks, beer and that shrimp, it's not always as easy. So, and it won't do that much. It won't do that much. But I always recommend to people the same stuff. Lose weight, start to exercise, get your body in better shape, and take your pill to get the uric acid down to 6. And if Xyloprim, allopurinol, the old kid on the block isn't working, talk to your doctor about the new kid on the block, which is Euloric, because at 80 milligrams, it will often do the trick.
Now, what tests are used to diagnose gout?
It's the blood test of uric acid. The gold standard for diagnosing gout is poking a needle into the joint, removing the fluid, and looking at that fluid under the microscope. That is the gold standard for deciding whether or not you have gout. But you can make what's called the presumptive diagnosis, the probable diagnosis, without doing that, simply with a blood uric acid test taken 2 weeks after the flare, 2 or 3 weeks after the flare. During the flare, probably going to be normal because the uric acid is going into the joints, but 2 weeks after the flare, it's going to be high. You got to have a high uric acid and the attack to make that presumptive diagnosis.
Well, Dr. Pastor, we appreciate you being on this morning. If anyone wanted to find out more information on gout, where should they go on the Internet?
Gout.com, G-O-U-T, spelled just like the word .com. Dynamite information, good information about gout, what it is, how to treat it, what it looks like. I think the educated patient is the patient who gets the best medical care. There's no doubt about it. And the Internet is the place to go. There's dynamite good information on the Internet, and gout.com will give you that information if you wonder if you have gout or if you have a loved one who has gout and you want to help them.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to having you back on to keep us informed.
My pleasure, and you take care now.
Okay.
And good luck with your snow.